Contracts. A contract is an agreement between two or more parties to do something or to refrain from doing something. Individuals enter into contracts every day without any thought. For example, someone creates a contract when ordering a meal in a restaurant. The restaurant agrees to deliver the meal, and the customer implicitly agrees to pay for it. Because behavior, the act of ordering the meal, creates this contract, it is known as an implied contract. On the other hand, if somebody came to your door and offered to mow your lawn for $30, your acceptance of the offer created an express contract. In both the restaurant and lawn mowing cases, the contracts were valid oral agreements. The primary difference between the two is in their creation. In the case of the implied contract, the contractual obligation arose through the behavior of the parties. In the lawn mowing case, the contract arose through the negotiation of an agreed price and terms between the parties. Bilateral and unilateral contracts. Both parties are obligated to perform in a bilateral contract. A contract of sale between a buyer and seller is a bilateral contract because both parties have duties to perform. The seller's primary duty is to show up at closing and sign a deed conveying ownership to the buyer. The buyer's primary duty is to show up at closing and pay the agreed consideration, sales price. In some contracts, only one party must perform. An option is an agreement between a buyer and seller or landlord and tenant. In exchange for some form of consideration, an option fee, a seller gives the buyer the right to purchase the property at some preset price and terms for a specific period. If a buyer has a one-year option to purchase a tract of land at $150,000 cash, he or she can exercise the option and purchase the property at that price anytime during the year. The buyer has the option, but is under no obligation to purchase. However, under an option, the seller must sell if the buyer chooses to buy. The contract is said to be a unilateral contract because only one party is obligated to perform. A unilateral contract is said to lack mutuality. Contract law. Successfully negotiating the sale or lease of real property results in a contract between the parties. In some cases, the parties negotiate the transaction over a contract that passes between the parties, with modifications until reaching a final agreement. More complicated transactions, such as commercial sales and leases, are negotiated over a non-binding letter of intent. The letter of intent lays out the terms of an agreement. After the terms have been finalized, the letter is delivered to an attorney who creates the contract according to the terms of the letter. The general presumption is that an individual signing a contract has read it and understands it. This presumption assumes that the individuals contracting have the legal capacity to enter into a contract subject to some limitations. This presumption of understanding is applied even if a party to the contract is not knowledgeable in the subject matter the contract addresses. Contracts that are not prepared with care are often ambiguous. Common examples of ambiguity include unfilled blanks or information that is too vague to determine if a party is performing under the contract. A contract that is clear in its terms, not ambiguous, has historically been interpreted under the Four Corners Rule, which states that the terms for performance under a contract may be determined by a reading of the entire contract. A contract that is not ambiguous is, therefore, not subject to interpretation outside the four corners of the document. A contract may be considered ambiguous if one or more of its terms can be interpreted in two or more different ways. Performance of a contract. Real estate contracts contain provisions that require performance by a specific date. Examples include the delivery of a document, such as a survey or disclosure, by a specific date. Courts have ruled that the failure to perform by a date stipulated in a contract is not an incurable breach unless it materially harms the other party. The term "time is of the essence" written into a contract means that all provisions must be completed as stipulated, and failure to do so constitutes a material breach of the contract. The insertion of "time is of the essence" is not generally recommended in real estate contracts. In some states, certain portions of a contract may be subject to a strict interpretation of time. Included in these would be the time allowed for a buyer to obtain financing and the time provided for an option to purchase real estate. Discharge of contracts. A contract is considered discharged when all parties have performed. In real estate sales, performance, full execution, is often achieved at the transaction's closing. A contract may also be discharged due to a change in the law that makes performance illegal. For example, if a buyer is purchasing or leasing a property contingent on operating a retail store, the contract could be discharged if a zoning change made that activity illegal. The destruction of property. Examples include fires, earthquakes, acts of war, and hurricanes. Note that if the seller intentionally destroys the property, he or she is not discharged and is liable for damages. The death of a party does not necessarily discharge a contract. In many cases, if the seller is deceased, the sale can be completed by the estate. On the other hand, a buyer who dies will likely be discharged from the contract. The impossibility of performance may be a cause for the discharge of a contract. Rescission by one or all of the parties is possible under some circumstances. When the parties to a contract agree, mutual rescission is a possibility. Mutual rescission aims to restore the parties to their pre-contract status. A contract may be unilaterally rescinded with just cause. Unilateral rescission may be done with cause, which can include, among other things, fraud, unilateral mistake, duress, or undue influence. Elements of a valid and enforceable contract. Five essential elements must exist for a contract to be considered valid and enforceable. They are 1. Competent parties. 2. Offer and acceptance, mutual agreement or consent. 3. Legal purpose. 4. In writing, when required by law. 5. Consideration. Competent parties. The general rule of law is that all parties to a contract have read it and understand it. This generality is true even if they are illiterate or not knowledgeable in the subject of the contract. Certain persons do not have full contractual capacity, including minors, individuals who have had guardians appointed, and those under the influence of drugs or alcohol. An individual under the age of 18 is considered a minor. Contracts executed by minors are generally voidable at the option of the minor, but may be enforced by the minor against the adult party. Therefore, anyone who contracts with a minor does so with the possibility that the minor may choose to void the contract. Assuming the minor took no action to void the agreement, the contract generally becomes valid and binding when the contract closes or when the minor achieves legal age. Contracts with a person who lacks mental capacity can be either void or voidable. If the person has been judged to be incompetent, the contract is void because the person never had the capacity to enter into the contract. When the courts have determined that an individual is incompetent, a guardian will be appointed to handle that individual's affairs. When such a judgment has not been made, however, and the contracting party is attempting to prove insanity, mental infirmity, senility, or mental retardation, the contract could become voidable at the option of the infirmed party, his or her agent, or guardian. A person who enters into a contract under the influence of drugs or alcohol could be considered mentally impaired. In most cases, a person seeking to void a contract on such a basis must show that the other contracting party used the drugs or alcohol as an inducement to sign. It would seem that providing clients with alcohol before writing a contract could be a risky marketing strategy. Offer and acceptance, mutual consent. What constitutes an offer? Under ideal circumstances, an offer on a residential property is presented in writing on the required forms, including addenda. On the other hand, circumstances are not always ideal, and any offer must be presented, even if it is an oral offer. All offers must be presented. An offer must be presented, no matter how low or ridiculous it might be. The agent does not have the authority to dismiss an offer without presenting it unless the party has given the agent written instructions to the contrary. An offer can be communicated by phone, fax, email, letter, or hand delivery. Termination of offers. If an offer has been made, it can be terminated prior to acceptance by the offeree due to the acts of the parties. The acts of the parties depend on the conduct of the offeror and offeree. The offer, if no time is specified, remains open for a reasonable time, and the offeree may accept this offer within a reasonable time period. If there is a specified time period, the offer terminates upon the expiration of the time period. An offer may include language such as, "This offer is in effect until 5 p.m., month, date, year." In any event, an offer may be withdrawn at any time prior to its acceptance by the offeree. If there is no a specified termination time, an offer should be withdrawn in writing if that is the offeror's desire. Or by operation of law. Operation of law may terminate an offer. The law terminates the offer upon either party's death prior to acceptance, the bankruptcy of either party, or a change in the law that renders the contract illegal. If the parties to a contract agree to its cancellation, mutual rescission, the contract is then terminated. Acceptance/mutual consent. A valid contract must be based upon the consent of the parties. The contract must, therefore, reflect the intent and wishes of the parties. Mutual consent or mutual agreement is often referred to as a meeting of the minds. For a contract to exist, the parties must have had a meeting of the minds, offer and acceptance. The determination of mutual consent is usually a question of fact and is completed by the process of offer and acceptance. Circumstances sometimes arise that result in a failure to have a meeting of the minds or mutual consent. Consider the buyer who is about to be defrauded by a seller attempting to sell a property that he does not own. The buyer's intent is to purchase real estate, and the seller's intent is fraud. In such a case, there never was a meeting of the minds, and the contract is void. Another example of a failure to have mutual consent could come through a mutual mistake. If the seller and buyer negotiate a sale, and it is discovered that they were talking about different tracts of land, there is not a meeting of the minds due to the mutual mistake. Note that the mistake must be mutual between the buyer and seller. For example, a buyer cannot terminate a contract on the grounds that they really made a mistake in signing it in the first place. As mentioned earlier, mutual consent is completed by the process of offer and acceptance. Legal purpose. A contract for an illegal purpose is void, and the law treats the contract as if it were never created. An example of a void contract would be one to have somebody killed or to deliver illegal drugs. Legal purpose is also referred to as legality of object. In writing. In order to comply with the statute of frauds, contracts for the conveyance of an interest in real estate or leases for a term of more than 1 year must be in writing. If the contract is not in writing, it would be valid but not enforceable. Statute of frauds. Contracts for the sale of real estate involve concerns that are greater than when dining in a restaurant or when mowing a lawn. When considering real estate contracts, there are many concerns, including the dollar amount involved, financing, contingencies, and possible title issues, etc. Both the seller and buyer have a considerable number of obligations to perform if the transaction is to close successfully. For these reasons, most states have a law known as the Statute of Frauds. Under the Statute of Frauds, contracts for the conveyance of ownership in real estate must be in writing to be enforceable. A valid and enforceable contract for the sale of real estate, therefore, must be in writing. Because it does not comply with the Statute of Frauds, an oral agreement to convey would be considered voluntary and not enforceable in the case of disagreement. In the case of two agreements, one written and one oral, the written agreement will always take precedence in the event of a conflict. In addition to our sales contracts, the following types of agreements must follow real estate contract guidelines and the statute of frauds: listing agreements, management agreements, buyer representation agreements, lease and lease purchase agreements, options, right of first refusal, cancellation, and rescission agreements. Executory contracts and sales contract default remedies. Once all the terms of an offer have been agreed to and signed by the parties and the acceptance communicated to the offeror, the contract becomes binding on the parties. The contract is known as an executory contract from the effective date through the closing. An executory contract is defined as a contract that is binding on the parties, with one or more of the parties having contractual duties that have not yet been performed. The effective date is the date that acceptance was communicated to the offering party. For example, if a seller accepted an offer from the buyer on Monday, January 3rd, and the buyer was notified of the seller's acceptance on Tuesday, January 4th, the effective date of the contract is January 4th. When the sale is closed, the contract has been fully executed. All oral negotiations are voluntary and do not become binding until committed to writing. From the effective date to closing, a contract is an executory contract. Both the seller and the buyer have duties that they must perform during this period. For example, the seller must allow the buyer access to the property for inspections. The buyer must make reasonable efforts to obtain financing and appear on the closing date ready to pay and close.